You are listening to EA Business Radio, and we are live here in hot Atlanta, Georgia. And it certainly is living up to its name today and this week. And we've got a couple of hot companies here to be here on EA Business Radio that we're glad to have. First, I'd like to welcome Dr. Jared Huey of Concordia Anesthesiologist.
That's right. How you doing, Cliff?
Hey, Dr. Huey. Good to see you. It's going to be an exciting story with Dr. Huey. After having a very successful anesthesiologist career, MD career, he went out and started his own company. And that is what excites us around here. The next is we're glad to have Junko Harvath.
Harvath.
Okay, a little southern accent here getting in the way. Just that South Georgia accent just can't get out it sometimes, but we're glad to have you. And Junko, you're with MV Financial.
Yes.
We're glad to have you here today. So we're going to talk about doctors and money today. How about that?
Yeah. Two great topics.
Yeah. You like that topic, right?
First of all, I don't have a southern accent. I have a Japanese accent.
Are you? So is that where you're?
Yeah.
How long you lived in America?
23 years. But if you come to this country.
You're 24, so you.
Yeah, so.
You only been here 1 year.
That's right.
So you only had 1 year. You came here 1 year old.
Correct.
Okay. Well, welcome. And we want to start off with Dr. Huey here. Dr. Huey, you're a great EA member, and I know you joined as you were starting your firm. Give us an update on your company, Concordia, and tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Yeah, well, Concordia Anesthesiology, we started about a year ago, and right around the time, like you pointed out, that I first got involved with Entrepreneur Advisors. After I made a decision, sort of a forced decision to either stay with another large anesthesia practice management company as chief medical officer or branch out and do my own thing and form my own anesthesia practice and anesthesia practice management company. And I guess in the true sense of entrepreneurship, I chose the latter and started Concordia Anesthesiology with just a small anesthesia contract. I won't say the major hospital system's name here in town that we started with. Initially started with just an idea to just have an anesthesia practice. Because of the previous relationships I had with my old job, I just found myself taking telephone calls from other hospital administrators and surgery practice groups that were looking for a change in the anesthesia practice. And the idea of forming Concordia Anesthesiology as a practice management company was born. Me and a couple of other anesthesia providers who also left the other anesthesia practice management company decided to get the wheels in motion and start Concordia. And here we are. We've started with one contract. We also staff a couple of different surgery centers here in the Metro Atlanta area. We're on the verge of starting a couple of new contracts kind of around the southeast, one in South Florida, a couple that we're considering in North Carolina. But in the few short months, the year that we've been in business, we have had a lot of momentum in starting our company.
Well, very good. And now you went from being an MD, and now you're probably in sales. Talking about contracts, you got to go out and win the business.
That's a very big part of it. It's something that you almost sort of take for granted, being in the operating room and behind the ether screen, we call it, and just doing anesthesia. Actually, the business side of anesthesia is a totally different beast compared to the practice of anesthesia itself. But that's something that sort of sets our company apart from most anesthesia practice management companies in general. Most practice management companies don't have anesthesiologists who practice anesthesia. Most of them are suits in the office who never even see patients. And I think that's the rub, the thing that sets us apart.
Okay, very good. Now, Junko, let's go over to you with MV Financial. You probably have some clients that are doctors if you're in the financial world. Tell us about MV.
MV. I have an office here. I'm the head of the Atlanta office. We have another office in Washington, D.C. I want to say I'm a genius and I know everything, but the reality is I don't. So I work with my team. Everybody has a unique genius, and I run the Atlanta office, and the CEO is in Washington, D.C. We have 5 people here in Atlanta, 20 people in the D.C. office. 25 together, we work as a team and helping our clients. I have a lot of actually a doctor client, OBGYN and allergy doctor, kidney and internist and cardiologist. And I have a lot of doctor client. And many people say they don't like to work with doctors, but actually I love it. They know what their specialties are so that they delegate whatever which are not their specialties. So
let me ask you this. How long have you been in Atlanta?
I've been here for 23 years from Tokyo, Japan.
So you came here?
Yeah, I came here in 1988, went to Georgia Tech, got my MBA in 1990.
From where?
From Georgia Tech.
From Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah. That's my school. So I have 2 interns from Georgia Tech now. So it's I wanted to move to New York, but I'm glad I didn't. So, yeah, I like Atlanta, and it has been great.
Well, we're glad you decided to stay here in Atlanta and build MV. How do you differentiate yourselves out there in the financial world this day and time? You know, there's a lot of cynicism with the whole financial arena. There's a lot of people in the financial arena. What's the secret here? How do you differentiate yourself?
So I do everything in fee-based, and I do all the investment fiduciary. That is very important to me. Many friends in my industry, I think that they have some kind of alliance with this company and that company. So it's a human nature.
Did I hear you say you do all fiduciary?
Yes, fiduciary.
Wow.
That's
saying a lot, because probably 80% of the people in this financial arena are basically what I call resellers. You know, I'm from the software industry, and we had what we call resellers. You go out and just resell my software.
Yeah.
And they're out there reselling products.
Specific products.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't really volunteer it very quickly.
Yeah.
They're really not financial advisors, what they are. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out there reselling products. And they'll just say that. They'll say, you know, I'm reselling this product for Fidelity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people are product sales.
So who makes the investment decisions?
We have investment committee, and we make everything by investment committee, which is very, you know, structured, and we meet, every 2 weeks.
Why don't you give Dr. Hewitt a hot stock tip? Could you do that?
I have my notepad here. I'm
going to take his notepad down. You got any hot stock tips?
Unless somebody has, let's say, $3 million and up, then we have a private money managers which construct all the stocks in each asset class, but those managers have a minimum investment dollar.
What about this, though? What about, is the market going up or down? We got to get down to the nitty gritty here. Nitty gritty stuff. Market going up or down?
Right now, market was peaked out on April 29th. It was close to 13,000, and we are approaching to the 13,000. Now, after that, it went to the south, and the last week, it went below 12,000. This morning, it's reclaimed the 12,000 level. And so market is it's recovering, but very slow, and economy is recovering, but in a very, very slow pace. So, but it's still growing. There are many, concerns in the market, such as the QE2, quantitative easing 2, it's going to end at the end of this month, and the debt ceiling, deadline is August 2nd. It's a very nervous market right now.
It's a very nervous market. All the debt.
Yeah.
You know, those chickens come home to roost sooner or later. And debt issues are coming up. Uh-huh. I didn't think I'd ever agree with something that Sean Hannity said. But something Sean Hannity said the other day I actually agree with. The first time in 20 years he said something I agree with. Would be, he says, you know, I just don't know where to put my money. Uh-huh. They told me to put it in real estate. I put it in real estate and the market fell out.
Yeah.
They tell me to put it in the stock market and it crashed. I took my money out and it went up. Where's a good place to put money this day and time?
Well, it's actually important that the DABA research, there's a famous research called DABA research that shows that, let's say last 30 years, market has been up generally, say 10%. The small stocks are up 11-12%, large stocks are up 9-10%. But average investors, how much did they earn? They earned like 2.7%. Why is that? While the market are up the much, that is because that they get emotional.
Let me tell you this, though. Last year, with the market up, how much was it up? 16%? 16%. If you miss 5 days in the market, you made 2%. Mm-hmm. So if you were out of the market five of those special days, that's starting to tell me I'm an optimist. I'm not a cynical person.
Yeah.
But that starts to tell me this is a little bit rigged here, you know. The boys are meeting down at the coffee shop in the morning in Wall Street saying, let's, Oxford's all in now. Let's pull out the rug out from under.
Well, that is telling you that you should stay in the market all the time and you should be really well diversified. So that's the key. Diversification as much as possible, that is very important. But people tend to put everything into the big, large, you know, company stocks or all in the real estate or all in the commodities. That is very dangerous.
Yes, Dr. Huey.
I was about to ask, diversified both in the market and out of the market? Small stock, big stock, in the market, and other investments outside of the market would be the question.
That's important too.
You know, I had this great uncle. And he put all of his money. I couldn't believe it, but I now believe it. Mm-hmm. I used to say, I used to call him. His name was Cliff too, Uncle Cliff. I said, Uncle Cliff, why are you putting all the money in the freezer? He said, that's the safest place for that. Where that darn money is in that freezer right there. He said, they can't take it away from you. It's in your freezer.
Turns out Uncle Cliff was absolutely right.
Uncle Cliff was absolutely right. And I laughed at him for years. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But he had lived through something called the Depression.
I understand that.
That'll jade your opinion a little bit, I'm sure. Well, we're living through it again now, I suppose.
I think it did... To use Dr. Huey's word, I think we are all jaded a little. I mean, I'm jaded.
Yeah, everybody's nervous with all the things about the Medicare to the Social Security, and I understand that people are really worried about their future.
You know, I mean, hitting Paulson, Geithner, and Rubin.
Yeah.
All those guys are really running this thing. And
I know.
The small investor, when I say small, $1 billion might be small to these guys. Some of these hedge funds, I saw a report the other day that 600 or 700 hedge funds could control this market. They said if 6 or 7 hedge funds got together, they could control the market with volume, just sheer volume. Do we think they may have gotten together once before? And where I'm driving here is, I think this is something the financial community's got to work on. Is the thing rigged? I mean, at the bottom end of the day, is the stock market rigged? I don't know.
It's obviously after Madoff and all the hedge funds and the SEC really has to tighten up. And I hope that it's going to be good for people like us who does business from the client perspective. And last year Obama enacted the Frank Dodd law, which has much more regulatory placement in the marketplace and try to avoid another meltdown in the marketplace. So there are many good people in my industry, but there are many bad people who think about themselves first. So I think that we need a measurement that public know who are doing the right thing and who are not more clearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. That's a great mm-hmm. point. If we had some kind of report card
mm-hmm.
on what is going yeah. on.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Huey, as a rising business owner, you started your own company. Are you paying any attention to the stock market, or you got one stock you're looking after? And that's called Concordia.
I got to be completely honest. I mean, I have my own financial advisor, and he does my money management for me. And this has been a very busy year, as you can imagine, the first year
sure.
of a startup. So I've not had a whole lot of time. I put a lot of trust in what he does for me. And my one stock, like you mm-hmm. said, is Concordia right now. And that's my way of diversifying. Mm-hmm. I have my money manager investing for me, and I'm diversifying by making sure my anesthesia practice is successful.
Take care of Concordia.
Absolutely.
Get that stock to go up. That's because, you know, investing in ourselves, that's what I tell entrepreneurs to do. Make sure you invest in yourself. You don't want to be putting money in the stock market and shortchanging your company. Because that I don't know if that would be the right thing to do. But so, you know, I think that's a good point, Dr. Huey. And why there's a lot of dismay is that mm-hmm. people did hire their financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they didn't know what they were buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just, well, it felt good. The guy worked. You know, I remember one time Goldman Sachs sent out six guys in fancy suits to see me. They all got out of the car. I remember I looked out my window and I thought the FBI. I thought that was, Lord, what has happened here? I can't remember if I'd done anything wrong. Let me think about this. And they came in and they sat down and they said, you know, they were really talking about golf and they want to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. all this stuff.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have called Goldman out, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously they are an elite firm and
yeah.
they're a great firm. But
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, guys, who's paying all this?
Yeah.
Six guys come out here. That takes a lot of money to
yeah.
come here.
I see more men do business emotionally. Like they play golf together and they just start, you know, doing business yeah. without really checking about the company.
Out.
And because, you know, they feel good that they're invited to the golf and they those Goldman whoever pay all and take them to the dinner and all that. And
yeah, your whole industry, and with the exception of MV, mm-hmm. you know, let me just say MV Financial, I think you all taking mm-hmm. a fiduciary responsibility
yes.
is unbelievable and fee only.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's high quality.
Yeah.
But it is, people were just thinking, if you're from XYZ company, mm-hmm. surely you know a lot about finance.
Yeah.
And that was not the case. It was salespeople in a suit.
That's right.
It was salespeople in a suit. And
yeah.
Then that led to a lot of anguish because when they found out these people really couldn't make any decisions. I knew a number of people that were telling their financial advisor, get me out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the cash. It wasn't emotional. They needed the cash, mm-hmm. you know. And they said, well, we really can't get you out of the market because, see, mm-hmm. we represent these. Mm-hmm. Then it was too late. You know,
that's
of course.
Right.
It was too late.
Yeah, so many people, yeah.
So that's a great story on y'all's part that you all mm-hmm. do fee only.
Yeah.
So you're not influenced by a certain mm-hmm. product.
No. We don't. Actually, we refuse to even go to dinner with the, you know, private money managers or mutual fund managers.
Oh, really?
We don't take any Braves tickets or anything from those managers because that's human nature. If we start doing that, that would skew our investment decisions.
Wow. Now you've really impressed me with MV.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
I mean, that's impressive because that's you know, the other company I knew that did mm-hmm. that, I worked for them for 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you know UPS?
Mm-hmm.
You could not go to lunch with a vendor, a supplier.
Mm-hmm.
The secretary couldn't yeah. get flowers mm-hmm. from, you know, the company yeah. providing that. It was so well done at UPS. I totally mm-hmm. respected how they did that. Where it wasn't even, there was not even a, a question if you could go to lunch with them. It was not even, you know, they were so above it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jim Casey, the founder, knew something about human nature, which you said you keep going to Braves game and you do that.
That's right.
And, you know, if it's a one-on-one relationship, Dr. Huey's a client of mine, so a member of mine. If I want to take him to the Braves game, that's between him and me. But I'm not relying on somebody else.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's where there's a problem in this whole thing. If you're giving me money that I'm giving to somebody else, that's a problem.
Yeah. So many companies, like big, huge companies, if you ask how many financial advisors they have, they say 10,000 advisors. Then you ask how many investment analysts they have in their group. Usually 4 or 5 at the most, like 10 in a country for 10,000 advisors. We have 5 advisors. We have 3 analysts here and, Washington, D.C. office. And we do all investment research, our own cooking by ourselves. So,
that is very unique. I'm so glad you all recently joined EA, but I did not realize the integrity of your firm there. You're just not finding that out very often anymore. This is you got a great story there.
Thank you.
Let's get off about making money, not how to invest it. Getting in back to sales, Dr. Huey, you are a very sharp looking man. You've got you dress much nicer than I do. See, you're one of these guys that can put on anything and look good in it. I go back to into the bedroom 2 or 3 times before I even get to leave, you know, trying to find that right. He puts on anything. He's going to look good. So you're kind of a natural sales guy in many ways. Are you the sales are you carrying that chief sales officer?
I think I wear that hat too, but truth be known, we have a small group of business development folks that we use who manage relationships and actually get out to meet prospective clients.
Oh, do you really?
That's invaluable. You know, I think business people just like doing business with other business people. And as much as I like to be out front and say, hey, I'm an anesthesiologist, but I'm also a business guy. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to talking business with the COO of a hospital, a lot of times they want to talk to a business person first. I eventually come in on the negotiation and put my 2 cents in, almost literally my 2 cents into it. But I think that's just part of the look. You have to have people to get out. And quite frankly, at this stage of our company, it's valuable. It's just as valuable for me to be in the operating room, managing the resources and kind of creating and developing the brand as it is for me to get out and sell the brand to prospective clients.
Yeah, you've got to be the closer, if you will, when it gets down to the brass tacks of finalizing a deal. Good time to bring you in as the owner. I mean, one of the owners. But yeah, so did you outsource this?
The business development?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have one person in house and a couple of people that are out of the office that we use. One's working one market, if you would, South Florida and the mid-state of Florida area, and another one kind of everywhere else. And the person that we have in the office does our business development here in the metro Atlanta area.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Okay, so what's in store for the next year? What do you see Concordia doing? You're just going to continue to organically grow?
That's the intent. I mean, you know, it's a kind of a difficult market right now. You know, when most people, getting back to stock market and how people are jaded and a little nervous about getting into it, with the changes in healthcare that are coming down the pike, a lot of people in healthcare are skeptical or nervous about what's going to happen. So a lot of people are thinking about just maintaining status quo or certainly not losing any money.
And we see that across a number of industries.
I see it as an opportunity to kind of get out there and nice. grow the company. The hospitals are looking for ways to stabilize their bottom line. Anesthesia practices across the country are nervous about making any big changes. And again, it, from an entrepreneur's perspective, it's just an opportunity. That change that's coming creates an opportunity for new companies like mine.
Very good. That's well said. You know, as far as the herd, you know, the entrepreneurs, we entrepreneurs run from the herd. We kind of get away from the stampede, and that's what you sound like you're doing now. Because, you know, this weekend in Atlanta, this was the first weekend that the Buckhead Life Group did not have a wait at any of its restaurants since the snowstorm. You know, there was no wait at any of the Buckhead on Saturday evening.
Wow.
I think that's summer, and I think there's a little bit of people jaded, getting rejaded. Is that a word? Okay, my friend over here, Trevor, looked that one up. But certainly jaded again. Do you all feel that? You're both out there on the business every day. What about it, Junko? Do you see some people? Because that's dangerous. We need to have our confidence.
Yeah. Actually, the personal spending number came out. It's flat. That's the lowest since June of 2010. And the expectation was 0.1% up, but spending is actually flat.
Flat, was it really? Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing how the macro numbers fit right in here to the local numbers. I mean, you, like I said, this past weekend, it's a good gauge. When people feel good, they feel confident. Let's go out to eat. They go out to eat. Let's go to and the Buckhead Life Group is a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of stepping it up from just you know, down from the Wendy's. Let's go out there because you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, personal income is up. It's up 0.3%. So since the income is up, usually American people spend more, but they are worried about economy and stock market.
Psychological.
Psychological. Yeah, and also, you know, not only in the U.S., that the concern is Greece and the European, you know, countries such as Spain or Ireland or, you know, that Italy, all the concerns. So because of that, people, and also unemployment rate is too high. And I think the number of the unemployment, the non-farm payroll numbers, I mean, those people who don't have jobs went up slightly. So because of that, unemployment rate went down to 8.9. Now it's back up to 9.1%. Those are all the concern then keeping people away from going to the restaurant.
I think also, too, Cliff, you might think about it's the summertime and families are trying to put aside a little money to have some kind of a vacation. I would think with the 4th of July weekend coming up, that might factor into
it,
too.
That's a good point.
That's true.
That's a good point. So we're saving up so we won't go out and spend the big bucks at Chops.
Yeah. And also that you remember that the Atlanta, that it's hit harder than other areas of the countries because we did a lot of creative, flexible mortgage. So more people, you know.
Yeah, this was a real estate town.
That's right.
This was a real estate town, and that was the first time. You know, there had been recessions that Atlanta had grown through.
That's right.
The rest of the country in recession, and Atlanta was did just fine. 88, 93. And this time, you know, it's funny how it all comes back around. I think we made up for the previous two we missed.
We caught up in just one recession.
The last three that we missed, we caught up with. It all washes out.
And the bank failures, that's big that because of that flexible lending.
Wachovia was hit hard here in Atlanta. There's a lot of stuff hit hard in Atlanta because Wachovia had such deep ties to Atlanta from its first union days.
Yeah.
But, well, that's. So how do we, what do y'all think as an entrepreneur and as a financial leader, what would you all suggest to our listeners that could cure the company's ills? Junko, I'll go with you first. What should we do to, you know, to get entrepreneurs? We need, you know, if Dr. Huey's successful, then we're all successful because he's going to be hiring people. He's going to be growing the wealth for a lot of people. What can we do to help entrepreneurs, do you think? The country?
The country? Well, we need an organic growth. The organic growth is the growth that which is happening like in a emerging market countries such as China or India, you know, Brazil. I mean, unfortunately, those countries, you know, growth is down and the stock markets are down because of the inflation. But we need some organic growth. And but to do that, we need to create the jobs. As I said, right now, the unemployment rate is too high, 9.1%. And it's probably going to take
what
three.
What could help aid that, though? Is there anything to help aid that? Because, you know, in I saw where President Obama spent $787 billion.
Yeah.
And if you take his number of creating 2 million jobs, that's, let's say, take it, that's $393,000 per job.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's not sustainable. That actually has a counterproductive effect.
Mm-hmm.
So what could President Obama do to help entrepreneurs and help Atlanta and get this economy growing again?
Mm-hmm.
America's always figured it out. You know, we've been on our backs before and we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it going to take this time?
It's a very difficult question. I think that, you know, some technology and, you know, some kind of advancement, some efficiency.
We had the technology bubble. We had the housing bubble. Yeah, we need another bubble.
I'll jump in and say,
go ahead.
Just like Junko said, to use her term, organic growth is what we need. What does that look like? I don't know. I read an article in Forbes magazine several months ago. It may have been a year or so ago, where it said that most of the Fortune 500 companies of today were all started either in a depression or a recession.
Absolutely.
So companies like mine and companies like Junko's that are out and still trying to grow and thrive in this, in what everybody would consider a very difficult market, need to be supported in some way.
Because, you know, when you got hyper growth, everybody's got a tailwind. So that pushes along some companies that probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
But in this economy, the best move up, and that's why so many of the Fortune 500 have been created during the, and it gives entrepreneurs a chance to get out there and compete and differentiate themselves.
Yeah, and I think that the big companies actually are holding a lot of cash, so they need to invest the cash to the growth of the business. And then the Fed has to do everything to keep the rate low right now until economy sustain a little bit stronger. By doing that, the smaller business like yours or mine, then we are going to sustain and grow, right?
Because I would argue that those larger companies that are holding on to cash, they're being extra cautious right now. So
cautious. So they need to hire more people.
Well, see, you know, big companies, you know, large have never had it really any better than they got it right now. They got the lowest cost of capital.
That's
they can borrow money at the lowest cost.
Yeah.
And they got the, you know, they have the lowest cost of labor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They've had in 150 years because they're going overseas and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses, that's their job, is find the lowest cost of capital.
Yeah.
So big companies are just fine.
Yeah.
And you see, like, General Electric paying no taxes. And I bet you if Dr. Huey over here earns a dollar, he's got to pay taxes on that dollar.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like they really made it really complicated when they could have said, you know what, this $787 billion is going to be a tax-free holiday for payroll. Everybody Dr. Huey hires, he's not going to have to pay taxes on. And, yeah, that's
love that idea. I'm going to call Barack Obama.
You know, it's simple. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just simple to implement.
Yeah.
And so it's it'll be interesting how it does pan out, because I think, you know, the entrepreneurs like Dr. Huey and yourself are going to be the next 25 years. Big companies, you're not going to get them to get off that cash. They got shareholders sitting there. They're not getting off that. The government, they've done all they can do. Entrepreneurs, and so that's part of our whole mission at EA is get these companies that are, you know, take them to the next level.
Yeah.
After they get started and after they get going, what do you do then? And we're very excited. Thursday, we had Columbia University out of New York contact us, and we got a speak with them Thursday on our Entrepreneur 2.0 curriculum. Tomorrow at 8:30, Kennesaw's introducing it to the community as their standard. So, you know, some education. So we all toot our own horn here a little bit and say, you know, entrepreneurs need education, and then they need to know to do business with each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think you guys do a great job of kind of keeping the entrepreneur community connected.
Oh, well, thank you.
Through the symposiums that you do here.
Yeah, thank you. Love your symposium. That's
Junko,
the first class.
You joined the very day that you were there. You gave us your card
that's
while you
right.
were there and said, I'm joining. So we were excited about that around here.
Thank you.
And I think you know, listening to your company, I can understand why you did it. Now, a lot of times it's when people come across something that's honest and making a difference, they want to be part of it. And that's certainly what you all are doing. And Dr. Huey, both of you, Dr. Huey joined almost immediately after he came.
That's right.
And has come to Doctorpreneur.
Yep.
Played a big role in our Doctorpreneur program, which is Doctorpreneur is a subset of entrepreneurs for doctors. And, you know, if we can get education from each other and we can learn from each other and do business with each other, I think that's how entrepreneurs are going to do very, very well the next 25 years. I think I'm overall excited about it. You know, the only thing I think can hurt us is actually Washington. That's the only thing in our way.
That's right.
And I think there's, hey, we'll offer help. They could give us help with that tax-free holiday. If you don't hire anybody, guess what? You don't get to enjoy the benefit.
That's right.
So we're excited about it. But this has been a great talk, hasn't it, Trevor? We've had a lot of fun here today. This was,
thank you.
Gee whiz, the time went by very fast.
Sure did.
So, Dr. Huey, if people want to get in touch with you, let's say if there's an anesthesiologist out there listening, how can they get in touch with you?
They can reach out to us on our website, www.concordiaanesthesiology.com has a direct link for providing information, and there's always someone that's available to reach back out to you.
Very good.
Both physicians and hospitals and surgical practices that might be looking for anesthesia providers or in a different way of doing anesthesia.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay, Junko?
Yeah.
MV Financial.
So www.mvfgroup.com.
Mary,
MVF. Yeah, Mary Victory Frank.
What does MV stand for?
Masood Bozojani, that's our CEO in the Washington office. He started 28 years ago. Yeah, and I've been together with him on and off 11 years.
How'd you get in touch with him?
That he was a partner of the previous company where I was the senior vice president.
Where was that?
The senior advisor. That's in Atlanta.
What was the last name? What was the company's name?
The company's name, the previous one or the current one?
Previous
one. It's called GB Financial.
Oh, GV Financial. Mm-hmm. You know what GV Financial, Mark and them over there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I know them very, very well. Now, that's an example of a products group, right? Well, that'd be an example of maybe the top tier of the products group. So you were at GV, and then you went to MV.
Correct. So we wanted to be completely free. So.
When did y'all leave GV?
The August of 2006. That's almost 5 years ago. Time flies.
Yep. I see.
Time flies, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So. Yeah, they were part of EA. I think the financial situation hit their model. And so we understand that. But okay, well, I understand. So you left GV and started MV.
Well, yeah, MV, that my CEO said, Junko, if you take care of your client until the grave, until the death, you'll have them forever. So that's the core value, you know.
How long did you work with GV?
7 years. So with him and me together, it's 11 years.
Oh, very nice.
11 years. And I respect him so much.
Well, Junko, we really admire what you have done here. I mean, You know, in Microsoft, there were so many companies breaking off Microsoft, they were calling them baby bills instead of baby bells. Baby bills. There were baby bills all over Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a great thing about great entrepreneurial companies. They spurn out.
Yeah.
More, because that's who you attract. You attract people like Junko and Dr. Huey. So, anyway, well, this has been fantastic. Now, we're going to be able to get this back out to you all. So you can put it on your website, and we'll get the link to you. Make sure your clients hear this, that you were here on the EA Business Radio.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we will see you at the next symposium. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye.